Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I am your host, Robin Misevich. And as always, we have our beautiful and talented co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm having a hurricane praying hangover.
I know, right? Yeah,
like,
I can totally go with that.
It's one of my best friends in Florida and my niece and trapped in a high-rise in Clearwater, and everybody's doing okay, but, man, it's been a tough year.
It's been it's almost like, where were you? You know, it's almost like a 9-11 all over again with this whole thing about where were you when that happened. I think it's just really interesting. And the conversations I've been having are, you know, when the ocean receded and all these people were walking out on, you know, where the ocean floor should be and had this huge shoreline. When the ocean got pulled back, and people are talking about that too. So when it comes to, Amy loves to really just be in a place of grace, and boy, there's been some stories of grace with all this as well, you know, when it comes to these things. So tonight we really wanted to take some time to really dedicate it to just all the challenges that are going on right now with Dallas, and then, you know, in Texas and Louisiana and just all Florida, all these different places where really looking at life-altering events and transitions that can really be catastrophic sometimes with these events, and really making it look at, you know, whether it's working with a hurricane, or, you know, a hurricane could be something even in our personal lives, you know, whether it's a breakup of a relationship, all of a sudden we're unemployed, you know, the loss of a loved one, just all these different things that can really challenge us to have a sense of, you know, where am I now when it comes to these things that just feel like hurricanes in our lives. And I'd love for Amy just to jump in, and she's got so many pearls of wisdom for us. So go ahead, Amy.
Well, and first I want to talk about, make sure we acknowledge Houston. It was in Houston, not Dallas, and for a lot of people, it's so devastated. We want to honor them. And one thing I want to talk about with Irma, having really been part of tracking that, and it was really interesting because there's one thing grew up in Nebraska, and so we'd had a lot of tornadoes, but that was kind of like, you know, you'd hear the sirens, you knew it might be a tornado warning area, but it hit and it was over. The thing that's been so interesting, especially with Irma, is that we've known for days, right, that something
mm-hmm.
was coming.
Yeah.
And then just a slight change, which did happen. Jacksonville did not expect to get hit like it did. They had the worst flooding in 90 years. And it was supposed to get, people had evacuated because they were told to, and then they were told to evacuate from where they were had evacuated to. So I think that really brings to the point of, and you talked about, we had a former podcast on resilience, and I think that's part of, and I want to explore that not only with these disasters, but just with everything. How do you maintain resilience? And having said, one of my nieces is in Clearwater, Florida, and then all of a sudden you have to evacuate. Well, then there was no gas, and she couldn't get out. So I'm really proud of her for how well, she taped up her windows. She had her boyfriend with her, and they did everything they were supposed to do, and they're doing okay. You know, they haven't had power for days, but they're doing okay. But it was all of a sudden, how do you change gears when you think you've gotten yourself safe, and now all of a sudden you're back in a danger zone again? And what
mm-hmm.
kind of steps do you need to take to do that? And even, you know, in life, you know, that's happening to us all the time, whether your organization's being laid off, or maybe you're just lucky you getting laid off, or things are happening, all of a sudden your relationship is shifting in ways that you didn't plan on it shifting. And how do you deal with that? How do you make sense of that? So it was really just some injunctions, kind of throw out things, Robin, and I think we'll just kind of walk through. I know, let me talk, and I'd love to have you talk about your experience, about what happened at your house in this last week, because that, I think, is a smaller scale, but still a lot of good critical thinking, a lot of good prayer, a lot of good keeping your head and having and calling for support. It was funny because we had talked about this topic, and so I've kind of been ruminating about it today and kind of jotting down notes about, you know, how to make sense of this. But just a couple simple things in supporting my good friend Linda down in Tampa, and she they debated, do they leave, and they could only get reservations for a hotel like 8 hours away, so they made reservations.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. So they made reservations, you know, for, I think it was Thursday and Friday night, maybe through the whole weekend. And then because, oh, it shifted, we're going to be, you know, it won't be great, but we're going to be okay, they canceled them. And then they were boarding up the house. And I'm really proud of her because she never beat herself up for making decisions that she did, because they were all based on good information at the time. And even boarding up the house, they were putting hearts and crosses and X and O's and messages, you know, on the outside of the house or the, you know, on the boarding, you know, and, you know, finding things to do to and enlisting people, you know, to pray for them. And so I feel like I have a hangover. I feel like I've been in constant prayer, and other good friends. I have a friend in Canada, not too far from Vancouver. They've had fires all summer long. Another good friend in Northern California, they've had fires all summer long. And it just wears at you. And how do you stay in the game when you're exhausted from being exhausted?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and depending on your positions on politically, I think we're kind of there too. Where it's just like, how do I keep my resilience when it comes to just, you know, how can there be one more thing that may shock me in a matter of like what's going on in the world? You know, the way the government's going and things like that, too. It's the same thing. We're like, what the heck's going on? Yeah, so the show that we're referring to is TC 231. Oh, sorry, 281. 281. And it's also with, we did a book on, with about character. And that's really an interesting show that we've done with, I'm trying to think of the name. Let me go look at that for just a second so I can give you the name of the book. It was, let's see, David Brooks. And the book was called The Road to Character. And we also had a one that we had included, too, that was a book called It Was Hard-Won Wisdom for Living, A Better Life with Resilience by Eric Gretenton. It's G-R-E-I-T-E-N-S. And he's a Navy SEAL. So if you want to talk about resilience, we definitely can talk about a Navy SEAL and being able to come from that when it comes to, you know, when the rubber meets the road, that's for sure.
Well, and, you know, we have worked with a lot of military, you know, we grew up in that. Just to say Navy SEAL does not necessarily mean resilient. I guess it's a level of resilience. They also have a really high dropout rate, and they have suicides because people don't, you know, they have such high standards, and they don't feel good enough, and they get exhausted. So I hear that, and that's an issue, I think, for everybody, you know?
Well, see, I think that's one thing with you, Amy. You have a very unique perspective with some of these things, you know, having, you know, her husband, Ross Bryan, is the head of the vet support that they have at UNLV, and they really are very intimate with a lot of the different situations that are going on just on a daily basis, with things that are happening in the vet world. So I think that's something that I'm not as close to, you know, all that. So I appreciate that you've got that perspective. So I'm glad you're able to share with that.
Responders, having one of our sisters have been the 911 dispatcher for 30 years. And she's resilient, and she isn't at the same time. And then, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they are in pockets. I guess what's coming to me, I never really thought about it before, Robin, but I think there's resilience And sometimes in that resilience, you shut yourself off in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have an answer.
That could be almost like a, yeah, it's almost like a fight flight kind of thing. I think there's certain ways that you can respond to that. And like you're saying, after a while, it's just like, how does your whole system cope when you've got these different things to be dealing with 24/7? You know, it just,
well,
it's really, really interesting.
But our sister, when she's on the phone, she has to make life and death decisions, you know, a standard operating procedure. So when she is not working, it is almost impossible to get her on the phone.
Yeah. She doesn't like to text or really call anybody because
right.
she's on it so much. Uh-huh.
So she's resilient, but I think she pays a price for that staying in the game. And look how I can, you know, how great I am at my job, which nobody's better at it than she is. But I think it costs her in terms of relationships because of her not wanting to stay connected on the phone and, like you say, text and email because she has to overly do that in her job.
Mm-hmm. So we just get creative.
Right?
We learn to be creative with her.
Yeah, but part
you
do. And I think part of, again, in this, I've never really thought about it before until you and I just started talking, that I think, you know, we have to be careful in that resilience that we don't shut down in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to, like when you have a car accident, right, you have to get the police there, you have to get the police report, you have to do whatever else you have to do, you know, and if you're, you know, severely injured, certainly you have to take care of that. But if not, then you know, you might have some bruising or whatever. So you do what you absolutely have to do, and then you deal with that. And I think that's okay in a triage situation. But the problem is we tend to do that over and over and over again and don't go back and, oh, I really need to go look at those other parts and make sure, right, that my relationships are good, that I'm taking care of myself physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that I, you know, have those friendships. You know, so many of the things that you and I have been playing with for the last couple of years, you know, are looking at those different parts from different perspectives. So I think in disaster, you have to shut down certain things. And it's like, I'm really honor Linda because, you know, here she's, you know, trapped in her house and has spotty phone and all that. But she kept connected to all of us through Facebook and was able to send out messages to let us know what was going on with her. And I'm really grateful for that. I mean, I wasn't in the, you know, in that disaster, so it isn't really about me. But when you care about somebody, you know, you need to be able to have information so you don't go insane.
Well, and I think that's one thing that we need to be grateful for, too, is just the level of technology that we have nowadays. I mean, think about that. Even during a hurricane, people were being able to communicate.
Yeah.
And that's amazing just in itself. Yeah, considering what was, you know, with some of the storms and things like that we were still being able to communicate. That's huge for people when it came to levels of not feeling isolated. Because if we go through these 10 tips for boosting resilience, you know, communication regularly and effectively is the number one thing. So here, you know, we've got technologies that are helping us to be able to boost that and feel resilient in that the fact that we're not feeling alone and we can actually reach out and get the help that we need. I think that's really just amazing. And I know that the local governments were really going out of their way ahead of time, 3 or 4 days ahead of time, to really communicate with all the news shows and things like that in the local area about what was really people were looking at about not, you know, hunkering down. If you've got a pet, try to get the pet out. And if you have people that are, you know, really can't get out, you know, call for help. There are people who are waiting for you to call because of the different ambulances and different things that they could help to people get out. People just didn't know they had options.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just really an important actor that we had on there. The second one was to maintain positive and personal connections. So, again, along with that, with Facebook and being able to utilize that as of really having people just from all over the world being able to reach out so you know that, you know, you're being seen and you can have the help that you need. I think that's just so amazing. Number three was avoid seeing a crisis as unconquerable. And I think we're talking about. That could be the big challenge of, like, you know, when you're in the middle of it.
So I'd love to have you, we'll go back to, you know, to the list. I would love to have you talk about what happened at your house and how you applied that list.
So a couple weeks ago, with the end of the summer, we found out that we had had this minor leak that ended up leaking in the corner of our bedroom to the point where it was starting to get so saturated into the floor that it was literally creating a black mold underneath the desk that we had. And we didn't even know that. And we had been coughing and thinking it was smog and things like that, you know, which could have been an added thing too. But so we literally just in a matter of hours had to basically evacuate our bedroom and, you know, get plumbers in here, get, you know, get first response people in here who could cut off that quarantine, the mold, and being able to get that all out. And you know, I'm a networker. I have like 4 networks that I go to with my business with Fogs for You and Riverside. And, I've just started calling the guys that I know that even if I didn't necessarily have the particular person that I needed, I would call a real estate agent or somebody who works with those kinds of people and just say, who can you recommend? So I basically had options to be able to get the quotes that I needed and or to the right person that I could go to. So, you know, we're still not fully back in, but we definitely feel like we're moving ahead. And because of that and seeing where we were with everything, we're utilizing our resources to be able to make some home improvements we've been wanting to do and not just make it about the bedroom and getting that back, but actually helping to improve our home just overall. So I think it's been really a wonderful process that we're taking, you know, lemons and making lemonade. And I mean, like, yeah, there's some challenges with, you know, sleeping, you know, camping out in our living room. But, yeah, I'm grateful I've got some place to sleep every night. So, you know, it's really getting that different kind of perspective about, you know, and again, it's saying, you know, avoid seeing a crisis as unconquerable. It's like we're making progress every day. I've got things to be grateful for. You know, let me back this out and think about what it is. You know, I'm grateful that, you know, it's a leak in my bedroom and not fully flooding my house, and my house is still there, you know, considering, you know, looking at hurricane situations. So, you know, depending on if it's large or small, you definitely just take that back into, you know, what's realistic and how are things being able to make it for good, that kind of thing. Because the next one is to be accepting of the change and know that it's actually there to assist you in what it is. So it goes back to that resilience about, you know, looking at what life is giving me and having it be something that I can benefit from and learn from and realize that I am connected. Because, I mean, you know, some of these guys, I've never had the opportunity to see them, you know, actually working. They've talked about it, and other people had basically ran and raved about their work and how they are, but I've got to see it firsthand on some of the stuff, and having them be reliable and just very fair in their prices has just been just a blessing for me. So it's just something that continues to help us to, you know, to boost our resilience and be able to give back to them as they're being able to give to me.
You know, and then it was amazing watching you go through that process. Because you do, you really did value the tools of resilience, and a lot of things that we've been talking about, you know, together for a long time, you were actually living them, and not getting caught up in the complaining. Not that it, you know, wasn't okay to be upset, because that was pretty upsetting, but you immediately mm-hmm. like, okay, I can be upset, but how am I going to deal with this?
So, you know, you have safe people that you can go and you go, let me get mad for 5 minutes. They're like, okay, do it.
Exactly. Well,
let me get pissy for 10. Okay, you're gonna be pissy for 10. Okay, you feel better? Yes, I feel better. Okay, because I think we still have to get in touch with it and express it, but it's something we don't want to dwell on it and have it be something that we're carrying into every conversation and just our life in general. You know, we own it and realize what it is, accept it, and then being able to move it into now. You know, how's this going to be moving me toward goals that I've had? You know, and we tie just like with this, it says the next one's move toward your goals. You know, we've had goals of remodeling and kind of changing the house a little bit for years. And we just, this came to an opportunity, well, before doing it in one room, why not do it in the others? And yes, it's going to be that much more inconvenient for a little bit longer time, but look what we'll get on the back end of it. So it's just like seeing all the positives, you know, once you've been going through that. I think anybody who's had any remodeling kind of knows what I'm going through.
Right, and then and being able to honor the loss because things are shifting and, you know, and move through it. And I'm going to talk a little bit. Tomorrow I'm teaching a stress management class for managers at Capital One. And mm-hmm. one of the things I'm going to talk to them about for managing stress is the 7-minute whining rule where, mm-hmm. you know, literally you say, get an egg timer and set it for 7 minutes, and you get that's how much time you get to whine and complain. And then I was like, okay, now what do we need to do about the project?
Mm, okay. Well, we've got one of our regular, one of our diners that we love, Mr. Andre Hayes is here. Hey, Andre.
Good evening. How are we doing?
We are doing great. Thank you for joining us. We're talking about resilience and really just moving through ways that we can be able to boost with that stuff. So love to have you chime in with, you know, we've been talking about the hurricanes and just talking about just the different kinds of challenges through relationship or remodeling or, you know, you got a flood in your house, what are you going to do, that kind of thing. So I'd love to hear your perspective.
You know, and I've been listening to the conversation for a few minutes, and I'm really enjoying it. I like what you all are sharing. And as you were talking, I looked up the definition of resilience. And the Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it as the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties, toughness, and the ability of a substance or object to spring back into shape, elasticity. And so one of the things with that, blaming just on personal experiences I've had, is that it starts with the mindset. And a mindset that is not contingent upon your current circumstances. And, you know, I haven't, you know, thank God I haven't gone through some storms and some.
Oh, I think you've been through plenty of storms.
Yes, I have, but I'm referring to like the acts of God in Texas and Louisiana and even Puerto Rico, like they're experiencing. I have not gone through anything like that. When I lived in California, some earthquakes, but nothing like what they are going through. But the other types of storms I've had in my life, there were times when I had to disconnect my emotions from the current circumstance and situation. And mentally, I had to focus on something. I had to say, this is where I want to be, or this is how I want to be. And I had to ignore the way I felt. The way I felt physically, financially, emotionally. I had to ignore what some people were saying to me. I even had to ignore some of the things I said to myself. And so going back to the definition of resilience, I had to have a mindset and an attitude that I'm going to bounce back, I'm going to recover, and we can either do it quickly or slowly, but it all starts with our mindset and our attitude. What do you ladies think about that?
I think that's awesome.
I think you're dead on, because I'm a big fan of positive psychology, which is not Pollyanna, but really looking at what's going to, like to call myself an optimistic critical thinker. And part of that is, yes, if you need to whine, we'll go ahead and give you 7 minutes or maybe three, depending on how much time we have. And then it's like, okay, what is really going on here? You know, like as simple as we'll go back to Irma. Okay, yay, I've evacuated, everything's fine. He's like, no, now you have to re-evacuate to a whole nother place. All right, so what does that look like? What does that entail? What do I have to do? Or when something shifts in our business that we didn't see coming. And I would say, I don't mean to be over dramatic, but I think a disaster is a lot of times, you know, something that shifts in a way that we didn't see it. You know, like a client pulled funding or whatever it happens to be. And so getting able to say, all right, I'm going to be in a mindset where I can be clear and then make some wise decisions is really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, keeping that perspective is so important. You know, being able to write those things down and be authentic about who am I and what do I want to be about, and then having that a broader view about and how does that reflect into my business, the people I work with, and how we can move forward in being authentic with one another, knowing that that's safe, and have that be something that was reflected in just how we serve others.
So let's look at that from the business perspective for a minute. I know that's important to all three of us. And for me and both of you, it's about being a good person and doing good work, supporting others doing good work. And I think that's, for me, really been really important, especially the last few months. I've had a lot of really crazy things happen. And what I keep focusing on is how can I love others, including myself, into strength, even through this crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Andre, you have
awesome.
Anything on that? Throw that one at you.
Yeah. You know what? One thing I learned years ago And at the time, it was very hard, and it actually hurt, is that I learned that in order for me to love someone else, first I've got to love myself.
And amen.
I'm not saying I did not love myself at all, but I did not love myself enough, and I was not loving myself correctly. Because if you love yourself enough, and if you love yourself correctly, there's just certain positions you're not going to put yourself in. But then it makes it easier when it comes to other people and they say, hey, I need a favor. Can you do this? Can you do that? Or if you see a person going through a hardship and they require extra patience or more patience than what you would normally give, now we can adequately assess the situation and we can be honest with ourselves and honest with the other person, and now we can do that. But we're, you know, when things are messed up internally at home as it relates to us regarding love, it's kind of hard for other people.
You know, and I think it's that balance, you know, real love of ourselves, not puffing up or overly me, but loving ourselves enough to do good in the world, because we're not drifting back and forth. And when it kind of comes to mind is something that keeps flashing in my head, it's important that we're assertive, and being assertive means my rights are important and yours are important too. How do we go for that win for both of us? But being assertive and kind simultaneously, where I think a lot of people miss the boat. Yes, I'm assertive, I'm strong, but am I being kind? Am I allowing grace? And I think that's the balance. And what's coming to my mind, I think one of the hearts of being resilient is living the serenity prayer. Anyway, about that.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Well, you know, I think that's one thing I've talked about several times on the show about, you know, that, you know, people are just doing the best they can with what they know. And you can come from that perspective. It really just gives a lot of spaciousness to being able, when you interact with people, because it's like if they can't understand you, it's just where they are in their perspective. It doesn't mean that, you know, they're not trying or whatever. It's just like where they are. So I think that really helps you. I know it's helped me immensely when I, you know, am interacting with people. That it just reminds,
well,
that's a general reminder I tell myself, you know.
One, and as being a business owner, which all three of us are, is that we want to be kind and loving and supportive, but we have to keep our ships afloat, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You are correct. That we do. As a matter of fact, just the other night, I was talking to a political candidate who was referred to me, and they wanted to hire me to do some consulting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave them my rate, and, you know, they said, okay. They said, I know you're worth that. They said, but I'm just starting out. Can you give me a discount? And I said, I cannot, but I'll tell you what I can do for you. I said, but let me tell you why. I said, I have a rate sheet on my website. Everyone's aware of my rates. They all pay the same thing. I said, if I lower my rate for you, now I'll have to lower for everybody else. I said, and because you're a political candidate, all of your financial expenditures are a matter of public record.
Uh-huh.
And if my other clients see that,
oh yeah,
I said, it can now cause problems. I said, but here's what I'll do for you. I said, I'm going to invoice you the full amount, because they were only asking to pay maybe 20% less,
uh-huh,
you know. And I said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to invoice you the full amount, but I'll accept the payment in the amount that you mentioned. I said, and how about I give you 60, 90 days to pay the balance? And I'm like, fair enough.
Nice.
You know, and that's the thing, is that normally I don't do that. I think that's probably the first time I ever did that in years. I don't do that. I say you have to have, you know, the full amount in order to move forward, because you're going to expect the full amount of the services from me. I'm not going to be able to say, okay, I'm going to give you 30% less. You know,
well, in a way, it's tithing, though. In my mind, that's tithing.
Ah, that's I didn't look at it that way. That's a good way of looking at it. Elaborate.
So if it's a cause I believe in, I will, yeah, I agree with you. I can invoice the entire amount, but then say, all right, I will give you X amount off, or do an extra workshop for you or something as part of my tithing towards the good work you're doing.
That's very good. I like that.
Because to me, my time and energy is much more valuable than money I can give you.
Yeah, and along with that too, with tithing, you know, we need to remember that it's good to tithe to ourselves.
Absolutely.
People never really think about that. But it's there should be a certain like percentage of whether it's your gross or your net, you tie to yourself because it's something like, if I didn't have me, I couldn't do what I need to do for other people.
Well, and part of your tithing, maybe I'm going to go do in a creative, I'm going to allow myself a day to go be creative in ways that don't necessarily look like they relate to work.
Cost money, but it's a matter of just giving yourself some spacious time. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
So we've got our 30 minutes, but I love Andre to, you know, tell people a little bit who you are and about your radio show and a little bit of that, so make sure we have that for people who want to get a hold of you and learn a little bit more about you.
Okay, sure. My name is Andre Haynes. I'm host of the EMG radio show broadcast on 91.5 The Rebel. That's an HD2 channel. And we discuss lots of topics ranging from entertainment to sports, politics, community. We've even discussed religion, and we bring on people. Some are experts in their field, and some are just callers or listeners who are calling in to make comments. We've been on air for about a year, have a very good audience. UNLV has been great to us, and in addition to that, I also have a few other businesses ranging from public relations to political consulting, a beauty pageant, and some other things, but my favorite thing about everything I do, I really enjoy working with people, listening to their vision, and being able to be part of bringing their endeavors to life. And, you know, I've had the chance to work with, Amy and the wonderful host of this show, the hostess of this show, and lots of other people. And, you know, it really adds to my life, and I'm very appreciative for that. I consider myself very blessed. I mean, to get paid to be around great people that can mentor me and pour into me, that I can learn from through observation and through instruction, it's a blessing, because there's lots of people who don't have the opportunity to be around great people like two of the ladies, you know, on this show right now. But to have friends like that that you can call, that will text you out of nowhere and say something inspirational, you know, it really adds to life.
Hmm. Yeah, and one thing, too, is I can just to toot his own horn, to toot his horn as well. Andre is the president of the Chamber of Commerce in Las Vegas for the Armed Forces. So if there's any vets out there that are looking just to be starting a business or have started something, contact Andre and, you know, get involved, because networking is such a powerful thing. And definitely the Armed Forces are wanting to be doing some lot of good in the Las Vegas area, that's for sure. So what's a good way to contact you, Andre?
The best way is to contact us online at Armed, A-R-M-E-D, Forces, F-O-R-C-E-S, Chamber, chamber.com, C-O-M. That's the best way. And if you're a member of the Armed Forces, whether that be active duty, guard, reserve, retiree, veteran from any branch, or you're the spouse of an Armed Forces member or even a first responder, and if you're looking to start a business, or you have an existing business that you like to grow and expand through efforts of marketing, or you're looking for education or partnerships, we'd love to have you as a member and participate in our mixers. Visit our website. We have a lot of resources and great things available for you.
Yeah, they even have a great Facebook page, so that's something else you can check out on Facebook with all the events and things like that are coming up. So, well, thank you, Mr. Andre, for joining us. Loved having
you
a part of the conversation
for the
tonight.
Of being on the show. I love it. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome back anytime. We'll make sure to grab a cup and become sit at the table with us. You're always welcome.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
And we want to thank as always, all of our national, international audience, and just, again, all of our prayers and thoughts to everyone just dealing with our weather. You know, may it be something that can be a change for good, and just really being proud of yourself for the level of resilience that you have and some new dreams that you can be bringing into the world. That's something maybe you've thought about that you can now bring in with all these things for new invitations for change. So we want to thank everybody, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.